Hello and welcome back to another special episode of The More From Grace. We've taken a little break from the Women's Six Nations. We'll be back with one final episode after the Six Nations concludes this weekend. But today we're talking Olympics Rugby Sevens. I'm joined today by the Indian sports journalist, my colleague at the Sports Gazette, Manas Guerra. How are you today?
I'm good, Henry. Thanks for having me on the show. It is an honour to be on your podcast out here. I've only recently started learning about rugby and then suddenly I've realised there's a new format called the Rugby Sevens. How many can I take, man?
Just wait till you find out about Rugby League. So, I understand you've got some questions for me so I can help introduce you to the sport and help you gain a better understanding.
Yeah. The format I was talking about was Rugby Sevens. So the thing is, I've only moved to London like a few months ago, and it was only then when I started getting interested in rugby and started finding out a few things, the rules, some of the good players, Marcus Smith is still, so I came to a bar with Henry himself to watch the final of the Rugby World Cup. That was a good experience. But then I found out there's another format called the Rugby Sevens, and all of my previous knowledge does not count for anything in this particular format. So I'm here to ask Henry, what exactly is the Rugby Sevens and how is it different from the rugby that we all know?
So fundamentally, rugby is 15 aside for rugby union. There's rugby union and rugby league. They split about 100 years ago to become two separate sports that are similar. Rugby league sort of a bit more, if you watch American football, it's a bit more like that in terms of you have so many plays before you've got to give the ball over and you've got to do so much with the ball. Whereas rugby union is just 15 aside. It's pure, constantly at each other. That's sort of my focus. And then within rugby union, you have the rugby sevens. So rugby union is 15 aside on a 100-metre pitch, probably about the size of a football pitch, 15 aside for 40-minute halves. Rugby sevens is 7 aside for 7-minute halves. But the big difference is with sevens, you don't just play one match in a weekend. You'll play an entire tournament. You'll play your pool stages. You'll play your quarterfinal, semi-final and your final. So you could be playing as many as 7 matches over a weekend. So really it does make up and you actually, whilst it's a lot higher pace, it's a lot higher tempo, you end up playing a lot more rugby in some regards.
Yeah, so it's a smaller game, but more games. And as you said, they end up playing more games in a day.
Yeah, so even if you don't make it to, say, if you don't make it past the quarterfinals, for example, you've still probably played 4 or 5 games that weekend. So realistically, if you're playing half that game, you're playing, 7 times 4, you're playing what you'd be playing if you were playing a full-length match.
Right. And who plays this particular format? Is it the same players who play rugby union who also play rugby sevens?
So historically, it was a lot of like crossover. There was a lot of players that would either be sort of big names and then they'll go over and play a bit of sevens. Jonah Lomu's a classic example, probably the first superstar of our sport and arguably single-handedly made the sport turn professional. He played a bit of sevens at the Commonwealth Games, helping New Zealand win the title there. And we see a bit of crossover. There's a few players. It's often used now as sort of a breeding ground for younger talent. We've seen, particularly early 2000s, there's a lot of players like Lawrence Dallaglio, and a little bit later on, Danny Kerr became sevens players before they sort of really broke into the full England team. Whereas now, sevens has kind of become its own specialised sport. You see a few players sort of cross over, but they often struggle to adapt and maybe they don't make the break. But at the same time, you do get some big names, which we'll get onto later, that really take it by storm.
I don't think you like this question too much, but is England any good at rugby sevens?
We used to be. So back in, I guess, the good old days, we used to have, we're based in Twickenham, and when we used to have the London Sevens at Twickenham Stadium, and it was sort of the big day out in the Sevens calendar. It was all fancy dress, people getting drunk. There was issues with crowd drunkenness, and they had to scale back the event a little bit. And it's the only time you'll ever really see sort of issues at a rugby match. But it's all fun and games, really. It's just people enjoying themselves, having a bit of a boozy weekend.
Yeah.
And of course, we'll talk about how it goes across the world. There's the Dubai Sevens, there's Hong Kong Sevens. It goes across the world and the whole atmosphere is a party atmosphere. But on your question about England, we used to be good. When rugby became an Olympic sport again, after about 100 years of it not being one, they reintroduced Sevens as the format of rugby at the Olympics. and Team GB had to get together to create a team. Mm-hmm. And obviously in rugby, England, Scotland and Wales all play separately. Ireland and Northern Ireland, they decided because Ireland plays as a united country in rugby, they were just going to stay as that for the Olympics. And in the first Olympics in 2016, England got the silver medal. They lost out to Fiji, probably the biggest brand in rugby sevens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 4 years later in Tokyo, they claimed fourth place. They just missed out on that bronze medal. And then, yeah, COVID happened and all three unions, Scotland, England and Wales, stopped funding it. So all these players, all these top sevens players were made redundant. And we saw a lot of them enter the Premiership. We had Dan Norton, who is the top try scorer in sevens history. He was playing for London Irish for a little bit. Tom Mitchell, the GB captain and was the England captain, he went over to America. He was playing for the LA Giltinis. They won the Major League Rugby title that year before their collapse, which is a story in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it sort of collapsed, and then England, Scotland, Wales stopped funding it,
okay.
And now they've really dropped down the rankings. There's a possibility now, having come fourth, having come second, that they won't even qualify for this Olympics.
Right, that's interesting. But I just want to know, what was the reason it was introduced in the first place? Like, kids these days, they don't have much of an attention span. That's why, did they need a smaller game? Or was it just to promote the game in other countries around the world?
It was a bit of both. It sort of started off quite a long time ago. It first was played in Melrose in Scotland, and the Rugby Sevens World Cup is now named the Melrose Cup as a result of this. But yeah, it's sort of been used as this tool to grow the game. Obviously, it started off as sort of just a pre-season training camp, a bit of fun, a bit of a laugh, and it's really been seen as something that you can export the game with, particularly in countries where rugby's got a smaller following, like India, for example. There'll be quite a big emphasis on, you don't need as many players, so we can play sevens. You can get a team together from your local school, for example,
mm-hmm.
and as long as you've got seven players, you can get a game on, whereas otherwise you'd need 15, and obviously that's quite a big difficulty when it's a smaller sport. So you can really just introduce it that way.
Okay, now I'm really getting interested in this game. And I actually want to know, how is Rugby Sevens played at the highest level?
So historically, it was called the HSBC World Sevens Series. They've gone through a big revamp this season. And they've just simply called it Sevens. They've got rid of the vowel, so it's just SVNS as the branding. And it's been sort of a mixed reception. I don't mind it. I think it is part of this big rebrand. They're trying to sort of really re-promote the sport, because there was this big push after it joined the Olympics, and then it sort of, after COVID, sort of died down a little bit. So they're trying to bring it back, but every year they'll play in different locations around the world. So they'll play in Canada, they'll play in Singapore, they'll play in Hong Kong, they'll play in Dubai. Historically, they'll play in London. And now the grand final is in next month, I believe, and they're playing that in Spain, which... Oh, wow. Whilst they've got a solid international team, they're not a traditional rugby nation.
Okay, so that's a lot of countries. So I'm assuming they're going to be at the Olympics soon enough?
Yeah, so third time for the Olympics this summer over in Paris.
Third time, okay.
So they're playing it actually at the Stade de France, the main French stadium. So it's set to be one of the big events of the Olympics. I believe it's starting actually before the opening ceremony actually takes place, which will be interesting. So, yeah,
So the game is being played before the opening ceremony?
So the preliminary qualifiers are going to be played before the opening ceremony.
Okay.
And then they're going to sort of carry it on through, I believe.
Okay.
Each year they play in these multiple different locations around the world, and it creates one big sort of league table. So your position in each tournament. So if you were in Cape Town and you came first, you would get the top seed for the next week, and you'd get so many points in the league table. And that sort of collates until the end of the season, where there's this season, this big grand final in Spain.
Right. And would Team GB be taking part in the Olympics?
As I mentioned, they're not yet qualified. There's one final qualification spot available.
Yeah.
Team GB have got the qualification process has been announced now, and they'll be playing in the repechage tournament. And it does look like it will be between either Team GB or South Africa, who won the HSBC Sevens just a few years ago, but they've similarly had a little bit of a fall off over the last couple of years.
Right.
So it'll be really interesting to see who goes through. But if Team GB don't go through, that'll be a massive, massive letdown.
Yeah, I want to continue asking you about the issues that you mentioned within Team GB in the Rugby Sevens. How much has it affected their game and their chances of qualification?
Hugely. As I mentioned, they haven't qualified yet, and a lot of players sort of suffered redundancies, and they also essentially had to start from square one in a lot of regards. The Team GB squad was taken under the wing of the National Lottery. They funded it for a little while. The teams were wearing these National Lottery branded shirts with the National Lottery logo on, which was quite an interesting sight to see at that high level, when it's something that you normally associate with sort of slightly smaller sports that aren't necessarily as well funded as rugby is historically. But they carried on, and the women's team have qualified, actually, is worth noting. But yeah, with the men's, it sort of really drops off. The women's team, there's historically been a lot more crossover between your top international stars. So Jasmine Joyce, for example, is possibly the biggest name in Welsh rugby at the moment. She's an absolutely electric winger. And she'll be playing for Wales 1 week in 15s, and then she'll go over and play sevens again. Now we're seeing with the men's, they are two separate sports. It's a lot of players will either come through university and they'll then get picked up by the sevens pathway, or they're players that maybe dropped out of playing at the highest level in the Premiership, for example. And they're getting picked up, and sort of it's own sport. You have, like, it's a different skill set because it's so rounded, it's so fast paced. You need to be a specific type of player to be a successful sevens player. But GB is just so chronically underfunded at this point, to the point where if you try to buy a Team GB jersey, you can't.
Wow.
That they're sponsored by an outdoors company called Through Dark, who make their shirts, but they're not selling their jerseys, which is, to me, that's insane. That's how can you grow the game, and how can you grow the sport if you're not even selling your own memorabilia? It's sort of just like you've got this team, but no one knows about it. For a few years, we spoke before we started recording, for a few years, actually, the Sevens wasn't even on TV in the UK. It always used to be on Sky Sports, and then it got taken off, and you could stream it online, but you couldn't really just go, oh, I'll sit down on TV and grow the audience organically that way. You had to know that it was on, look out for it, and actually go out your way to find it. And now, thankfully, halfway through this season, it's been picked up by TNT Sports.
Nice.
So, and that's a result of big names coming over, which I'm sure we'll get onto shortly. But, yeah, it's Team GB have really struggled, and it's the future, unless something changes, the future is not looking great.
Right.
There's a possibility they won't even be playing in the top series next season.
That's actually really sad. I was thinking of going out and getting a jersey for myself, but clearly I cannot do that right now. But anyway, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. If there's a rugby sevens game and a rugby union game happening at the same time, which one are you going to choose to watch?
Personally, it depends on the teams, obviously. I'm a big Harlequins fan, a big England fan.
Okay.
If Team GB were in the final of, say, the Cape Town Sevens, and I could either watch that or I could watch a standard Premiership match, say Saracens versus Sale Sharks, I might be tempted to watch the Sevens.
Nice.
But I think if Harlequins are on, they're my go-to. I can't not be watching that.
Fair enough. And finally, are there any, like, who are the big names who are going to be performing at Paris? And tell me, why should I be watching the Rugby Sevens at the Olympics?
So, yeah, there's been some big names that have crossed over. Possibly the biggest one is Antoine Dupont. We'll talk about him in a moment. But the big news that's come out this week, or the big news that's come out recently, we spoke about it on earlier podcasts this week, is Adam Radwan. He's got one cap for England. He's sort of been tipped as this sort of electrifying player that can make something from nothing. He's got lightning pace. And he's been given permission now by his club that if he would like to, he can go off and play sevens. But whether or not that's going to happen, given that Team GB might not even make the Olympics, we've just got to wait and see. The former Australian captain, Michael Hooper, he's entering sort of the latter stages of his career, and he's decided after not making the World Cup squad that he's going to focus on sevens and give that a go. And by all accounts, he's really taken to it so far. He made his debut for Australia Sevens, actually in the latest tournament, and won a game-winning turnover in essentially his first play, which is huge for him. And as I mentioned, Antoine Dupont, the biggest name in rugby, he was the French captain before this Six Nations. He was the French captain at the World Cup. He is the best player in the world right now. I've argued in the last episode that perhaps it's Elie Kildane, but he's definitely the greatest men's player in the world right now, possibly the most marketable, the biggest superstar. During the Rugby World Cup, there was posters of him all around France. He is their superstar, and he is everything that they want out of rugby. And he's made the decision that he's going to go over and he's going to play rugby sevens.
Nice.
He made his debut, and immediately you could see the impact. France has really grown their sevens programme over the last few years. And he came in like a duck to water, was just carving lines, scored some magnificent tries. And actually, France ended up going on to beat Team GB in their one success. But France went on, they actually won their first ever tournament win in a series in Los Angeles. And yeah, he's taken it like a duck to water. He's come back and played a bit of European rugby for his club Toulouse, but he's set to come back, and he's going to be the real superstar of this Olympics. He's going to be front and centre of everything.
Man, after listening to all of this, I'm wondering, when is my country possibly going to play at the highest level of rugby? Because I can tell you that in India, we have a relatively small community, but we have a very strong community from rugby. In the world of rugby, has India made any sort of an impact just yet? Like, do you people know about the Indian rugby team?
Not yet. They've sort of struggled. I think possibly maybe the size of the country doesn't help. It maybe it's too big, and you know, when you've got limited funding, you can't really grow a game nationwide like that. But as you said, there's pockets of rugby communities, as there are in a lot of smaller countries, and I imagine sevens is the front and centre of all this. Because of the small format, you can really grow the game through that. So it'll be interesting to see over the coming years how they really adapt with it. I know Harlequins, the club that I support, they've got this project with, I believe it's an orphanage or a charity called Future Hope in India, where they've sort of introduced rugby over there and sort of used that as a tool for good, which is brilliant to see. So yeah, they've not made a splash yet, but maybe one day they will.
Yeah. If Harlequins is doing something for the Indian community, then I guess my team is Harlequins as well, man.
Has to be. You're living in Twickenham now, so Harlequins is just down the road. We'll have to get you down sometime. It's big summer kickoff tomorrow. Maybe you have to go to that.
Let's go. Okay, right, we're going to prepare for that. Henry, thank you so much, man. I think I'm going to be following the Rugby Sevens for a while now.
Nah, that's quite all right. I think, yeah, as long as we can grow the game and make it a better place for everyone, that's the job sorted. This has been The More From Grace. Thank you, Manus, for joining us. I hope that you've got a slightly better understanding of rugby and rugby sevens, and that it's something that you're really taking interest in moving forwards.
Yes, indeed. This was fun, Henry. Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time on The More From Grace. Goodbye.